Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So we are concluding our series entitled God Will. It's based on a song by Lyle Lovett by that same title, God Will. And in this song, Lyle is comparing himself to God as to what he is willing to forgive and forget and trust, and then what God is willing to forgive and forget and trust. Lyle is highlighting the difference between his willingness and our ability to forgive and forget. The chorus of the song is this: God does, but I don't. God will, but I won't. And that's the difference between God and me. He's talking about his unwillingness or maybe even lack of ability to forget and to forgive and to trust again. The part of the song that we're talking about today is this verse: and who keeps on saying that he still wants you when you're through running around? Now, there's really two parts to this verse. The first is the question of who keeps on saying he still wants you. And the second part is when you're through running around. I want to talk about the second part first. How do we run around on God? We do it. And we come from a long line of people who have really sort of mastered the art of running around on God. I mean, the Jews had this down. You remember they had been rescued from Egypt? They were hardly out of Egypt a few days. Moses goes away, he comes back, and they have created a golden calf to worship. And then they get delivered to the promised land, and then time goes by, and they intermarry, and a king marries a woman from another land, and all of a sudden, they're worshiping this god with a little g, Baal. You remember the passage from 1 Kings, the big showdown that Elijah has? He's the sole remaining prophet for the Lord. And God has created a drought, and so he shows back up at the end of this long drought, and he tells the king, hey, let's have a showdown. And whoever's God claims the sacrifice is the one true God. And the prophets of Baal cut up their bull, cut up their sacrifice, and they dance around. And actually, Elijah mocks them. Where is your God? And the sacrifice remains untouched. So Elijah goes and he prepares his bull and he just calls on the Lord to come and take the sacrifice, and this giant flame comes from heaven, consumes the whole sacrifice and even the stones. In all of that, Elijah was calling to the Jewish people, return to your God. He loves you. He wants you to return to him. And they do for a little while. But then they go off worshiping other gods yet again. Now, before you get to feeling all high and mighty and say, boy, I'm glad I'm not one of those Jews, you're running around on God. We do it all kinds of different ways, do we not? We run from him, right? We run away from God saying, or you can do like what I did when I started to understand my call. I can't hear you. We ignore God, right? We run around on God's in all different ways. You choose to do what is wrong in the sight of God, and you know it. And you do it anyway. We buy into what the world says is important, not what God tells us is important. We fall prey to the people of Madison Avenue, and we believe that we have to have this shirt, these clothes, this car. Then we'll be happy. God says, just love me, and you will be happy. And then God blesses each one of us with so much. He blesses us with free will, with freedom. Every single thing that you own, you are a steward for God. And sometimes, I don't know if you do this, but sometimes you hold back on God, like he doesn't know. Like he doesn't know all the gifts that he has placed in your care. Sometimes we can find ourselves sort of like Ananias in the book of Acts and trying to keep back just a little for ourselves, as if God doesn't know what he has given you. These are but just a few of the ways that we can find ourselves running around on God. What is God's response to our running around? I still want you. I still love you, no matter what you have done. Our scripture reading today comes from the book of Isaiah. It's chapter 44, verses 21 through 23. He's talking to Jacob and Israel, which is really a metaphor for the people, the Jewish people, and us. Remember these things, O Jacob and Israel, for you are my servant. I formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. I have swept away your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me. For I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord has done it. Shout, O depths of the earth. Break forth into singing, O mountains, O forest, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and will be glorified in Israel. This is the word of God for the people of God. This is God's response to our cheating and our lying and our running around on him. I forgive you. I have swept away your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like a mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. And you, my friends, have been redeemed through the love and the grace of God Almighty. God loves you so much that no matter how you run from him, he will pursue you. He will follow you. I was talking with somebody earlier this week that is a brand new believer, a couple of years into being a believer, and was really irreligious as he was growing up. And we had a moment where we got to sit and visit, and he asked me, what is a Methodist? As if he'd like never even heard of us before. And I don't really know that he had, because when I said, well, you know, we believe in the triune God and that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that through his grace we all are saved, he was like, oh, okay. But I said, something that makes us a little different than all the other denominations is what we call prevenient grace and our understanding of prevenient grace. And I explained it to him. I said, this is the love of God that he has for you before you were even born. And it's this love of God that follows you around even if you deny his existence, even if you don't know who God is, even if you don't care to love him. That love is constantly following you around, constantly wooing and calling you into a relationship with him. It is this prevenient grace that calls to us all our life to return to Him. You see, God loves you so much, it doesn't matter how far you run. It doesn't matter what you have done or what you have not done. He still wants to have a relationship with you. He still wants to love you. He still wants you to love Him. He stands ready to forgive you no matter what you have done, no matter what you haven't done. No matter how many times you have run around on God, God forgives you. God wants to have a relationship with you. No matter how many times you have denied Him, no matter how unworthy you think you are of God's love, He wants you. He loves you. He wants you to experience His grace and His love. In our hymn, our opening hymn, one of the lines that we sang was, "Ponder anew what the great Almighty can do." And so I invite you this day to ponder how great God's love is for you. Because I want you to know, you can't grasp it. I know a lot of you are really smart folks, and you can think out sort of like what infinity might look like. But the truth is, you cannot fully understand how much God loves you. Which is mind-boggling, really. To think about the God of the universe loving you, no matter what you've done, no matter what horrible crimes you have committed in real life or in your mind, He loves you more than you know. More than anything, He wants to have a relationship with you. You know, on this Father's Day, I'm reminded of my Father's love. And as I have told you all from the pulpit before, I won the parental lottery. Both my mom and my dad were about as good as parents as they could be. Now, I know my parents are human. I don't think they're infallible or anything like that. But I do feel like I won the parental lottery, and my dad's love for me was something that I never doubted. Not ever. Not even once. Not even when I made him angry, which I did with great regularity. When I did something really, really, really stupid, he told me that was really, really stupid. But his love for me never wavered. I knew that he loved me. And I've tried to be a dad like that for my children. But I know not everyone gets to experience the love of a father like that. And I know that for some, the idea of a father's love is somewhat foreign to them. Or maybe even their father had done some hurtful things to them in their life. I know that not everyone gets to experience the kind of love that I experienced from my dad. Because my dad didn't. His father was gone and out of his life by age 7. Hardly ever spoke or saw him again. And the truth is that dads are filled with human frailties. And we may find ourselves having to forgive our fathers, our dads, for their mistakes. The idea that the love of a father might even be foreign or hurtful to some is true. But we have to remember that the love of God the Father is perfect. It is without error, it is unending, and it will never, ever, ever stop. No matter what horrible things you think you have done in your life, God wants you to experience His love and His amazing grace. His never-ending, never-failing love. Let me remind you, you are not worthy of that. Not one among us is worthy of the type of love that God shows us. And yet, God's love for you is unending and unfailing. God is inviting you to take whatever shame, whatever guilt that you carry around, and to put it down, and to experience His love and His forgiveness and His amazing grace. And here's the good news. You can never do anything to lose God's love. He will never turn His back on you. His love for you is unending and unfailing, and it will never, ever stop. God's love is telling you to forgive yourself, to put down your shame and your guilt and run back into His arms. For He is calling you, inviting you to receive His love and His forgiveness. Ponder anew how great God's love is for you. Let us pray. Gracious and Almighty God, we gather here together to celebrate Your love. The love of God the Father, the perfect love, the unfailing love, the unending love that You have for us. Oh God, write on our hearts this love. Let us experience just a tiny fraction of how great Your love is for each one of us. Allow us to feel that love through Your Holy Spirit. Allow us to be a beacon of Your love in this world for other people to experience through each one of us. Father, we know that Your grace is unending and unerring, and we are grateful. We know that we are not worthy of this amazing gift, this amazing grace, but we say to You, thank You, Lord. Thank You for wanting us, no matter how we run, no matter what we do, that Your love and forgiveness is ours. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.